Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, coming to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, coast to coast, and obviously now on Sirius XM as well, channel 206. So if you're in the car, cruising around with the fam, work, trip, whatever it is, don't lose touch with us here. Now that is merged, so it's just one channel for all the CBS Sports Radio programming, 206. Celtics, not getting really good news on Kyrie Irving, Teak. We'll certainly get to that. And Teak and I were both watching Josh Allen's pro day. So like we did with Sam Darnold, we'll certainly give you thoughts on that. But we start with the big dance.
Yeah, which one was most surprising to you last night? It's got to be the last one of the night. To me, it was.
Yes,
guy, I mean,
yes.
Like, I thought Gonzaga,
yes,
having been there before, Mark Few, such a great coach. They have the players to do it, even though I had one kid was out, Akeeling was out. But Florida State, we talked about their athleticism and disruption, their ability to knock down shots. It couldn't be sustainable after the underachievement, which was their regular season, 8-9 in ACC play. They get knocked out in the first round of the ACC tournament. There's no way they're going to go far in the NCAA, but here they are punching their ticket to the Elite Eight. And again, it was done with a lot of athleticism. It was done with a timely shooting and knocking down shots when it mattered. And more importantly, I think, BT, frustrating the heck out of Gonzaga. It's the same thing that they did to Xavier. They're able to create uncomfort with the team. And I don't know if Gonzaga was not prepared for it, if they just came out flat. Florida State moves on. And this one is shocking to me. I didn't think that Florida State had a chance in this one.
Neither did I. You know, I thought, I remember before we got off the air, I said that Kansas State would cover the point spread. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of points. I said to go down to the final possession. I did think Kentucky would win that game. So obviously, you know, I'm not really surprised K-State won, given that I had them covering. We both kind of flipped the coin with Loyola, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Who knows what was going to happen. Either way, would not have been a big surprise.
It's a good game, though.
That was a great game. Michigan would have beaten anybody they played in the country last night. They were just dropping bombs from the outset. At one point, I think it was like 32-12. That game was utterly unwatchable. Yeah, I'd have to say it's easy. It's Gonzaga. And I don't want to say that it's a no-show, because that kind of discredits Florida State. But given Gonzaga's rise from, you know, mid-major to national prominence, that does become the story. Unfortunately, it kind of obscures the accomplishment, at least our initial reaction.
Agreed.
Because they become, you know, if they're not quite in the penthouse with the rest of the Blue Bloods, boy, the elevator's been going north for the last 20 years for the Zags. But the one thing I do remember, and this is what I hate about this tournament, you second-guess yourself. Do you remember the day? It was middle of January, and I know it was a Thursday. Forget the exact score.
Yeah.
But I remember Wednesday night, Kinsley was up late, and I was on the couch with her, and I was buzzing through the channels, and I stumbled on Gonzaga, St. Mary's. And I came in the next day, and I said, Teak, this is not a vintage Gonzaga team.
I do remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The Gales won. It was a close game, like 2 or 3 points either way, relatively low score. I'll look it up. It was 70-something to 60, whatever it was. And I'm saying, you know, there's just something missing. Did I get him on the wrong night?
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for a little?
Which at the early part of the season could be the
fair
excuse.
Yeah, and they're really not tested in that conference outside of St. Mary's.
Not.
Maybe one other team, maybe at home, meaning Gonzaga's on the road. But my point being is I came in the next day and I said it with real conviction. I meant it, like, boy, I don't think Gonzaga's special this year based on their standards. But then, you know,
they win 32 games.
Gonzaga's going to wipe the floor with them. Like, why did I change my opinion of Gonzaga?
Well, I think
that I had back in mid-January.
Was it a change of opinion of Gonzaga, or was it a lack of belief? Because we've seen
Florida State be
great so far, but was it a lack of belief in Florida State? Because for me, it was a lack of belief in Florida
State.
Both. At some point, I'm saying to myself, Florida State's got to show what they showed all season long, which is, you know, a little, unorganized basketball, you know, somewhat backyard basketball. And in a sense, it kind of still was that if you watch this game closely enough. I mean, they're I'm going to get up in your face. Leonard Hamilton's got him playing man defense. I'm getting a steal. I'm going the distance. I'm scoring. Or I just pull up and shoot one. Maybe I knock it down. Maybe I don't. But it was enough. And I think at the right times, they got disciplined enough. The best this Gonzaga team, which I think most people had going through to the Elite Eight. So hats off to Florida State. Because after what we saw in the regular season, I couldn't have guessed that they would be able to sustain what they started last week, which is obviously in the round of 64 and then the round of 32.
No, I mean, really, since mid, you pick a game, and there's an example to illuminate why, if you believed back at the time frame that, you know, that I could reference here multiple times, if you got on the air or, you know, talking to your buddies or just trying to handicap the ACC, let alone the Big Dance, you really didn't give Florida State a lot of second thought there.
Nope.
They hadn't earned it.
Nope.
I mean, it's one thing to lose tight games and, you know, in a Power Five on the road, lose by a couple of the buckets, you know, 81-76. Okay. I do believe there's certain value in tough losses. And I think the committee believes that as well. But when you're getting waxed by Notre Dame's obviously well coached, Mike Bray, terrific, but they're an NIT team this year. Now you can say maybe they shouldn't have been, that's fine. But they got rolled by 20 something against Notre Dame. NC State destroyed. They just walloped them. There's usually, see, for a team that goes on a run like this, that is unexpected, there's very rarely such fluctuation in their regular season performance.
Agreed.
That's what's so surprising about this.
I completely agree.
It's like the stock market the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
I mean,
I know.
It's been a little bit more down than we want, by the way.
Exactly what we need right now, trade war with China.
Oh, jeez.
Different story.
Everything's going down. Although I think it was up today.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was up today.
I got to say, the most shocking thing is how deep they go, Leonard Hamilton goes with his bench at Florida State. I mean, they played like...
It's hard to play 9 or 10 guys in it's almost impossible.
They played like 14 guys.
No, but I'm saying
there's
very... Like, Jay Wright's going to play 7.5 guys.
Yes.
You look at the elite teams, you know, for the most part, Duke, they're going to roll out 7 guys, UNC, 7 guys, Kansas.
Yep.
Maybe that 8th guy's a variable. If foul trouble, a defensive presence, a perimeter guy, a specialty guy, a veteran that maybe kind of spark, but very rarely because you can't get in rhythm.
He's regularly, he's regularly 11. And in early,
I wouldn't want to play for that as a player.
Of course not. But he has the options to change it up. And we saw this early in this game where Gonzaga, what did they run out to? What was it, 13-1 or something to start the game? And all of a sudden, they slowly started piecing back and creeping back. But it was with the second unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just left them out there.
Little motivational thing.
And those, if you have that and your team is tight enough not to take offense, meaning the starters don't take offense with that, then good for you, man. I mean, obviously, this became a blowout. That's why I got the 14 guys. I mean, I think literally he got the 14 guys that he played last night. It was because they won by 15.
I didn't even think that you dressed 14. Did they really? Are you sure they played 14?
13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Five. Still, point taken. More than most.
Yeah.
Wow. 13
eight guys. Eight guys off the bench.
So now we get to the part of the calendar where the unexpected might be our demise. Now we're staring at this pivotal point.
Yeah.
This road that splinters in two very distinct directions.
Yeah.
Blue bloods, what we desire, heavyweights, familiarity, or the storylines keep going. Most people don't know much about these teams.
You're right.
And you do run the... two top 10 teams. I mean, one could win by 27 points. I mean, whatever. You could be an elite team and get run out of the gym as well. But the propensity for a team that, quote-unquote, overachieves, and I say that with really all due respect, the evidence is there. It generally dries up at some point. And when it dries up, it gets ugly. And you don't want ugliness in the Elite Eight.
No.
You don't want that.
Well, I mean,
and you certainly don't want it in the national semifinal.
You already have 2 number 9 seeds in the Elite Eight.
It's crazy.
And, you know, a sub-9 is getting to the Final Four this year
because
of Kansas State and Loyola. Florida State, I mean, do they have a chance? Maybe. I mean, I'm going to doubt them again, obviously, because of how well Michigan played in their Sweet 16 matchup. But against Texas A&M, but I mean, I wouldn't bet against Florida State now again if I had to. You know what I mean?
Nor would I bet on anybody.
I agree.
Maybe except Duke. I think Duke's going to destroy him tonight.
Yeah, we'll
see. Duke's going to whack him.
Well, of course. I mean, Michigan State should have beat him.
Mm-hmm.
but Michigan State was pulling shots, it felt like.
But I tell you what, though, and I was talking to Rothstein, who's going to be with us here today, that West Virginia-Villanova game, this is the test for me here. That's the one team, and I love Jay Wright, and I love his players. I really do. I love them all. I love Brunson. I love Bridges. I love DiVincenzo. Mm-hmm. I love Amari Spellman, London Fletcher's nephew. I love them all. The team's terrific. I've been saying all year, and you'll attest to this as my partner, there's something, even if the margin of victory and the record and the ranking does not match my description, I feel like this is just not a vintage Villanova team. And I've been saying this all year, and tonight it gets put to the test.
Yeah.
If they run out and they slice up that West Virginia press with five guys who can handle, and they very well might, and there's layups and there's open threes with ball movement, and they get out to a 13-4 lead, and they cruise, I will have been very wrong about Villanova. Yeah. I think this could be a very tough game for them tonight. Yeah, really tough.
No, I agree. For West Virginia, even though they've fallen perceptually at the end of the regular season, they're still who they were. They're still a really good squad and play great defense, which is disruptive, a disruptive type of defense. So if they're not ready for it, you get caught from it. I'm looking at my bracket, BT.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what place you in, by the way?
I'm horribly placed.
I am in
right
107th.
Now. I
doesn't usually win much.
No, I'm in 138.
All right. Well,
now,
as long as I'm in front of you, that's all I care
138.
About. 138. There we go.
And I think that's getting near the end.
Yeah, this is the end.
But I look at my bracket right now. And the right side, I actually still have, because I haven't played the games yet, but I'm going to at least get two picks into to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
Two.
Which ones are you looking at here?
So Kansas and Clemson, I both have them in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Clemson going that far, huh?
And Purdue, Texas Tech. So I'm going to get at least two in the Elite Eight, which I think a lot of people can't say right now.
I can. I got in the Elite Eight. In the Elite Eight.
In the Elite Eight.
Let me see.
I have nothing. I'm all red on the left side of my bracket.
My left side's a mess. Like everybody.
Mess. You're right.
I've got Nova, West Virginia. I got that matchup right.
Yep,
I got Texas
Nova
Tech,
being
Purdue.
Upset.
Well, I got West Virginia. I did have at least the guts to back it up on my. I clicked West Virginia.
Okay,
might be wrong, but Texas Tech, Purdue. I've got Kansas, Clemson, and I've got Michigan State, Duke. Mm. So on the right side, I've got seven
you
of eight teams
okay.
left. The right side's a disaster. I don't think I have one team on the right side. Nobody cares. All brackets are a mess. But I'll tell you this though, specific to the Florida State Michigan game, real quick on this. I believe it's such an asset. Now, John Beilein will coach against this because he is perceptive,
yep.
instinctual, not to mention schematically brilliant. Maybe, truly the best coach in America. I think, and I've been saying that for years, I think he's phenomenal. But if I'm Florida State, I love the fact that Michigan destroyed him last night.
Why?
I love him. Now, again, they'll guard against this. Human nature. If Michigan would have won the game, they won 99-72. Mm-hmm. They would have won 75-72.
And it was over at half. It was over before half.
Oh, it was a layup line.
Yeah.
If they would have won 75-72, the focus probably remains in check just a little longer. You don't stray. Your mind doesn't wander. You don't read the headlines. You don't get full of yourself. There's a window tomorrow night in the first 5 minutes of that game for Florida State
mm-hmm.
to steal that game
yeah.
if Michigan's not ready to play.
I don't think that's happening, though.
It's happened before.
I know, but...
I mean, it's the psychology of being young athletes, and you know that.
Of course, but I feel like this Michigan team has been out since the beginning of the Big Ten mm-hmm. tournament, which was almost a month ago, three weeks ago,
yeah,
to prove that they belong in the conversation. Because even yesterday, when we talked to Crispin, Michigan wasn't... part of the
narrative.
He was
texting me last night,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah, well, throughout the games at Johnson also.
He's great. But Michigan wasn't part of the conversation mm-hmm. at this point, thinking forward to
no,
this point
no,
of the season.
No, Purdue was Michigan State.
Exactly.
And we probably gave Ohio State a little more love than Michigan.
Michigan, I feel like, has been out to prove something for the last 3 weeks, and it's not going to stop just because they blew out Texas A&M.
Well, to that point, it's potent when, because they're not an underdog,
mm-hmm.
but they were a little overlooked. So when you have a power team from a power conference that's been snubbed a little bit,
yep.
that could be a dangerous combination for whomever they play. And Texas Tech obviously found that out last night.
Yep.
I'm expecting a tight one tomorrow night, yep. but I'm expecting a lot of things that haven't come to fruition so far.
And I got to tell you, as crazy as it sounds, Michigan is the only top five seed left on the left side of our brackets.
No doubt. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Teak, the other day we threw out the... imaginary scenario where if there was a tough loss, how would Kentucky and Coach Calipari and his players, how would they deal with that? We got a little look into it last night. Let's have that conversation, get your tweets going, set up the weekend, set up tonight as well, as the wackiness just keeps on happening. Brackets busted, but it is great. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
There are times when you call in the special teams. When you need a job done, you have to know your player can execute, especially when you need those players who can muscle through a tough situation. You know the ones who keep going when there's a pile of defenders trying to take them down. Of course, the same goes for tools. There are times when you're working on your car and need a tool with muscle. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you know what I'm talking about. Well, here's some good news. O'Reilly Auto Parts is holding their Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. That may sound like a mouthful, but that's because there's a wide selection of Power Torque Tools on sale now that are guaranteed for life. Shop any of the O'Reilly's 5,000 auto parts locations or check them out online at O'ReillyAuto.com. And don't miss the Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale going on now. Powerful tools for the jobs that demand extra muscle. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Friday, obviously, four more tonight. So, Tiki, the way this is shaping up, and, you know, I personally, again, and we'll get to Calipari and what happened at the end of the game in a moment here on the show with K-State. By the way, little Tiki and Tierney mojo, Coach Weber. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
You come on, you see good things happen.
Still flowing.
It is.
Still, although Musselman.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
All right, so.
You can't fight the nun.
We're not even trying to.
Well, not she's not a nun. She's, well, she's a, what is she? She's a nun. Chaplain. Is she a nun?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sister Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah, the awesome. Chaplain since 92, I want to say. I love when they walk over and hug her in the wheelchair. Yeah. What a poignant moment that is. That's awesome. Okay, so the way this is shaking out, let's see. So Loyola, Kansas State. And let just say for a moment, Florida State beats Michigan. Mm-hmm. Just say. So you'd have Florida State, and you'll have either Loyola and Kansas State in San Antonio.
Yes.
Okay? Let's just say if West Virginia beats Nova, not implausible, I wouldn't say likely, yep. But, you know, got a chance.
Defense travels.
No doubt, mm-hmm. Like speed. They mm-hmm. would play the winner, or they will play, yeah, they play the winner of Texas Tech-Purdue. And then the winner of that would then emerge to the Final Four. I mean, there's a possibility. It's Loyola, Florida State, Texas Tech. I mean, you need Duke. I mean, oh, you know, listen, Syracuse, it's not a vintage Syracuse team, but they travel well, yeah. And they certainly pop, and their they zone, resonate
and their,
well.
And their 2-3 zone defense is difficult if you haven't seen it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, of course. Is it
but,
doable?
Oof. Mm. This is not what most people want to see. This is not what most people want to see.
I'm torn on that. Yeah. I'm torn if I that, think that it's good for
the ratings historically say it's not good just for the record.
Well, that's why, because there's no familiarity, and so you don't look at a program and say I'm watching them because I'm watching history. You know my take on this. I want to see greatness. You know, not in the moment, but historical greatness, and we're not getting that.
Right. We're getting it in a different way. It's unconventional greatness.
Well, that's
greatness.
The thing. It's so different than expected that it's great because it's surprising, but it's not dominance. Mm-hmm. And I think when I think of greatness in the context that I'm saying greatness, I'm talking about dominance.
Yeah, like, I think most people share that opinion.
And
I do.
And so we're not seeing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and here's the thing: the Duke Cuse game is one that's interesting because if Syracuse finds a way to get to the Elite Eight by beating Duke, then even though they're an 11 seed, mm-hmm. it's not like they're an out of nowhere 11 seed. It's Coach Boeheim and it's his system and it's, you know, talk about short bench. I mean, they play with six guys.
I don't know how they sustain it.
It's unbelievable.
He's really doing a great job.
He really is.
Superb.
And so, but that's my point,
yep.
Right? It doesn't feel like the quote blue blood. But it's Boeheim,
mm-hmm.
and so you kind of get a pass on that, even though you see 11 sitting in the Elite Eight, which will look odd, but it's understandable. You know, it was no different when they beat Virginia a couple years ago in the Elite Eight when they were, I think, the 8 seed or whatever it was. Virginia was a 1 or a 2, and they knocked them out. It's just Cuse being Cuse.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to do that for some reason.
It's a national brand.
Boeheim
has
created this
with Pearl Washington.
Exactly, he's created this brand that plays well.
Yeah.
once they get to the tournament, regardless of how good or bad they were in the regular season.
No doubt. And they travel well, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Cuse winds up in the Final Four, again, I don't think they're going to be Duke. I don't think many people do.
No.
But it would be again, not a vintage Cuse team, but certainly a different sense. It's not like this incredible, although it is an overachievement based on what we thought they were.
Of course.
If they wind up there.
They were 8-10 in the ACC. They're worse than Florida State was in the ACC.
Who did they lose to at a conference? They lost a game early at a conference. I don't have their actually, you know what? Here we go. They lost a game early. You know, they play a lot of local teams early. Or
yeah.
So, they lost to – yeah. Bonaventure's good, and that wasn't this year. I guess that was probably last year. Or two. Remember, they lost to Lemoyne. There was a couple of regional teams up there.
Yeah.
Lemoyne's D2. who's actually very good this year. Not that anybody cares about Lemoyne right now, but – Syracuse is just, there's not the player, the name recognition.
No.
But that's okay. You know, this is shaping up to be a quandary for a lot of people because people want to know what you're watching.
Yeah,
I agree. You can have the best boxing match in the world. If those aren't names that you kind of grew up with and have real familiar style and substance and storylines, it just doesn't feel the same. That's not to say that it's worse. I don't want to do this to the young men who are accomplishing this. But it would
K-State
be very different.
Or Loyola or wherever,
schools,
it may be.
I agree. Doubt, you know?
But I enjoy it because you start to get invested at this point. Like Loyola has captured your imagination now.
Oh.
And so they become a rooting favorite even though the South region is destroyed. I mean, there's the 9-11 seed left. Even though it's destroyed, there is a rooting favorite in the South.
Yeah.
Just because the story is captivating. K-State hasn't quite done that.
No.
You know what I mean? There's not that... they've overachieved, like significantly overachieved for being a 9 seed and the route that they've taken over Creighton, which was good, but that was an 8-9 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But then, beating UMBC, but that was a 9-16 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
so it was like they became like there was disdain for, dare you get rid of UMBC?
Yes, exactly.
Everybody was rooting for UMBC outside of the state of Kansas.
You're right. So they
city of Manhattan, really.
They're not that Cinderella, even though they kind of qualify, but they're not really in that category.
Tika, I want to play a couple of things here before the update. By the way, a surprise team, a real surprise team emerging for the services of one Ndamukong Suh. It is a name that has not been connected to him at all. We'll get to that. Football at the 40s coming up. John Rothstein in studio. Next segment as well. Some NFL rules changes. But let's play. Here's John Calipari, who after the game, there wasn't a conventional post-game handshake. Here's John Calipari telling us why. Listen, one thing that I get to see a lot sitting courtside doing Big East games is the interaction between coaches. And I've always believed that the onus is on the winning coach to go and seek out the losing coach.
I agree.
I strongly believe that. I also told Tiki last week that, because you asked me the question when we were talking about Virginia, how they lost to UMBC, that if Calipari was the one seed who was upended by a 16, you asked me, do I think that Calipari would represent the program at a class? And I said, absolutely, I do. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been a very different presentation because they're just very different people, him and Bennett.
Yep.
But I think it would have struck the proper balance of reverence for the achievement, of humility, and I'm totally fine with what happened. I have no problem with what happened last night.
Reason,
some people will.
Yeah, look,
because Cal's Cal, but I'm okay with it.
Look, the reason we bring this up is because Kentucky got a lot of heat because they, quote, didn't shake the winning team's hand. But the reality is that Kansas State, as Cal said, they were celebrating, right? We see this every game. Game's over, you go right to the bench, you walk the line, then you celebrate. Yeah. K-State was celebrating, jumping in the stands, jumping on the scores table right after the game ended. I mean, if you're a Kentucky player, you're standing there waiting for them to shake your hand. They're not coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not my responsibility to track you down.
I agree.
Some people, again, because Cal's has his slippery reputation.
Pump the brakes on the hate on Kentucky.
There you go.
They didn't deserve that after this game. K-State did what they wanted to do, which was celebrate.
Yeah.
And they should, because no one expected them to be in the Elite Eight. But don't put it back on Kentucky simply because the handshake didn't occur.
Same page. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all, geico.com. Axe update now, Rothstein in studio. Got some coaching news and notes, some updates. He's got some things he wants to lay on us. And, of course, the games last night and the games tonight. Here's Ack. All righty, Tiki and Tierney back on a Friday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Cue the music, maestro. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you listen later on to the show as we answer the top one. We'll take what we think is interesting. Teague and I will discuss it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, top of the hour, a whole slew of NFL rules changes. Teague and I will get into that, including possible elimination of kickoffs. Is it a good idea, bad idea? And we almost hesitate to do this because it seemed like the low-hanging fruit. But based on the events of yesterday with Manziel and the pro day for San Diego,
yeah.
Imagine, Teague and I will get into this, if Manziel winds up in camp before Kaepernick. Mm. We will have that. It's not entirely unrealistic.
No.
Maybe.
I think there's a reason behind it.
Okay.
We'll
get to that. Football at the 40s as well. Of course, we'll preview the college hoops. What's going to be a crazy weekend beginning tonight or continuing tonight. And to help us do it, John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, and he writes for FanRag.com. He's been with us all tournament. Johnny Boy, what's happening?
Good to be with you guys.
Always, man. I don't want to get a few coaching items, but I want to throw this by you just in totality, like just a kind of nice broad stroke for the tournament here. Why are we all acting so surprised, right, with all the turbulence and certain regions being blown apart to smithereens, completely unpredictable,
yeah.
When during the regular season, the template was established. Mm-hmm. We've never before seen so many top five AP teams lose.
Right.
So why are we reacting like this is out of the ordinary? It's been that kind of season.
It has, but when you see a number next to a team on Selection Sunday, it is human nature to expect that that team is going to hold a higher standard. And I think one of the things, you know, that I've been saying for weeks and months is that seeds will be meaningless in the NCAA tournament. And I think one thing we've learned is that seeds are meaningless in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Florida State trailed by 19 points in the ACC tournament quarterfinals, I believe, or it might have been the round before the quarterfinals.
It was.
To the round before the quarterfinals against Louisville, who didn't make the NCAA tournament. Florida State lost 5 of its final 8 games. 3 of those games were by double figures. It made no sense. There was no logic behind Florida State rolling through to the Elite Eight. But logic doesn't exist in college basketball.
It's true. Now, do they have a chance against Michigan?
They definitely have a chance.
They definitely have a chance.
Now, Michigan's the favorite. I picked Michigan to come out of that bracket at the start of the NCAA tournament. I'm not going to waver that from that prediction. But the teams that have given Michigan problems, and Houston is a perfect example of this, are the teams that are extremely physical and get into them defensively. I think it's going to be a matter of whether or not Florida State's offense can really get by Michigan's defense. Michigan's defense has been sensational for the last 2 months.
Now, we talked about this, BT and I, briefly. We don't know the answer. How does Leonard Hamilton play with 11 guys? How does he
do
that?
Well, it's tough because you look at this team and you ask yourself, who can be the assassin? Florida State dominated, I thought, Gonzaga last night for the last 30 minutes. One player scored in double figures.
Yeah.
So who are you going to prepare for? And think about this. Terrence Mann, the one player who scored in double figures against Gonzaga, was not expected to even play against Xavier because of a groin injury.
John, here's what I said the first segment here, talking about what I envision happening with Michigan and Florida State. And, I mean, you can react to this if you want more. This is also for the audience that may have missed it. I believe the window for Florida State, because I'm with you, I think they could certainly steal one. They could certainly compete with Michigan here. The first 5 minutes of this game, I almost think it's advantageous, just given the emotions and the psychology of young athletes, which, as we know, can be all over the map, even with a great coach like Beilein. If they're not fully engaged from the outset, the fact that they destroyed and won by basically 30 last night and weren't even tested, their foot might not be all the way down on the gas.
Right.
And if they're a little lethargic coming out, they've got themselves a 40-minute game.
Well, and it's an outstanding point, Brandon. And you look at it, that brings to the question is, if Leonard Hamilton starts Christ Kumaj, the 7'4"
center.
There's
some great names this tournament, by the way.
No, if he starts Christ Kumaj, the 7'4"
Kumaj.
Big man, you know, all of a sudden you ask yourself.
Christ is his first name, for Christ's sake.
Christ is his first name.
Very religious background to this tournament.
If he starts him, and he's 7'4", and he's your five man, at least at the beginning of the game, he doesn't play huge minutes.
Yeah.
He's going to have to step out and guard Mo Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, if you make that type of commitment and you don't have Fiondu Cabangeli in the game at the five, you have a situation where you could have Mo Wagner bang a couple of threes early and give Michigan some early separation.
All right, John Rothstein is with us in the studio. Of course, John, our buddy here at CBS Sports, has been with us for a long time, insider, and writes for FanRag as well.
Let's divert to some of the coaching news going on right now.
He's all over this.
Yeah. Obviously, we know Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley's going to UConn. We know this. So a couple of things. What happens to Rhode Island? And then this latest one, Chris Mack, looking like he's going to take the job at Louisville, and then also what happens at Xavier.
All right, well, let's go step by step right now. Dan Hurley, you know, as we learned yesterday morning, took the head coaching vacancy at UConn.
Real quick, were you surprised by that?
No, not at all.
You didn't? Did he strongly consider
Pitt? John said that because of the
The pedigree. Yeah. It's the best job in the Northeast.
But how much?
What's the assistant?
Tom Moore.
This is the scenario you have to look at with Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley had in his mind that I can do no more at Rhode Island. I've won back-to-back games in the NCAA tournament. I've won a pair of Atlantic 10 tournament titles. And I think he was set to go to UConn. But Dan Hurley was extremely impressed with the presentation that Pitt gave, with the financial commitment that Pitt gave. And it was the ACC. But there is one program in college basketball that has won four national championships since 1999. And if you grew up like we did in the Northeast for the last two decades, it's still UConn. Now, what does this mean for Rhode Island? David Cox, the associate head coach at Rhode Island, was named head coach in waiting 2 years ago when he was promoted to associate head coach. David Cox, if he is not named the next head coach at Rhode Island, will receive a buyout to go into another situation, which would likely be on the staff at UConn with Dan Hurley. Now, here's one big thing you have to look at. David Cox was responsible for recruiting a large part of the nucleus that exists at Rhode Island, most specifically Jeff Doughton, Deron Fats Russell, and also Jermaine Harris, a top 100 prospect who Rhode Island beat out West Virginia for. So if you don't hire David Cox and you're the athletic department at Rhode Island, you are risking a potential for an exodus where we could see a Jeff Doughton or a Fats Russell transfer elsewhere. There's other people that are going to be obviously considered for this job, but from a continuity perspective, if Rhode Island wants to maintain continuity and bring back a nucleus in the Atlantic 10 that consists of Jeff Doughton, Fats Russell, Cyril Langevin, and Jermaine Harris, the talented freshman, they're going to promote David Cox.
What kind of job is Xavier? What kind of job is that?
A different type of job right now, because I think it's more of a destination job than we've seen in the past because it's in the Big East. Now, you brought up Chris Mack and Louisville. I wrote this in my column yesterday. Chris Mack and Louisville seem to be as likely of a marriage as the plot of Creed 2 is likely to have Stallone and Dolph Lundgren go nose to nose.
Really?
And this is why.
Wow. Ooh.
I have been told.
That's on the not likely.
For those who don't know what that means, what he's saying is it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, that's very likely.
Oh, that they're going to meet in Creed 2?
Yeah.
What, are they going to be 90 years old when they fight?
You're a Rocky guy. You've seen the plot?
I love Rocky. I've seen them all. I don't want to see these guys fight when they're 90.
The plot of Creed 2.
What in the world's going on?
The plot of Creed 2 is that, you know, obviously Stallone is going to train Adonis Creed, who goes against Lundgren's son. So at some point, obviously in the movie, they're going to come face to face.
Oh, you're assuming that. Go ahead.
Fair enough. You guys are in left field with a hockey stick.
No, I got you.
So what I'm saying is this. Chris Mack has told confidants. Chris Mack has told confidants now for a couple of years that Louisville is one of the jobs he'd be willing to leave Xavier for. It has the resources in the ACC. They play in an NBA arena. Another thing, too, is Chris Mack's wife's family is from the Louisville area, and I am told that Louisville is likely to offer him, if everything goes as planned, you know, an annual package that would start at around $4 million annually. Of $4 million annually, which would double his salary. So that's one thing you have to look at. He is clearly the front runner for that job. I feel like it's only going to be major news going forward if he doesn't accept the job. Yeah. Now, Xavier has been a program, if you look really at history right now, that is always promoted.
Just let me stop for 1 second, because I want to make sure. So it looks very likely that Louisville's going to happen for Mack. Okay.
I'd be surprised if it doesn't.
That's
I'd
the
be
only newsworthy item at this point. Would it even behoove Xavier, without a football team, that's their main revenue producer, Would it behoove Xavier to come and try to match dollar for dollar with Louisville to keep one of the role? He played there, as
yeah,
you know.
I don't know. Like, I don't have the information yet if they could come up to $4 or $5 million for a Catholic school. That's a lot of money for a Catholic school. Yeah. Another thing you have to look at, Trayvon Blewett, J.P. McCure, graduating, good time to leave, et cetera.
Yeah.
Another thing that you have to look at is Xavier has always promoted from within, at least, you know, the past couple of times. They promoted Sean Miller when Thad Matta got the Ohio State job. They promoted Chris Mack when Sean Miller got the Arizona job. If that is going to continue, Travis Steele, who is currently on the staff, is the in-house name to watch for Xavier if, you know, the athletic department does not do an additional search. Yep. But right now, I'd say those are your main situations in terms of the forefront of the coaching carousel. But we also have to talk about what's going on at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Pitt, as we know, went full go after Danny Hurley, offered him a multi-year deal in excess of $3 million annually. Pitt had a meeting scheduled for today with the athletic board in hopes of obviously talking about what's going on with their search for a new head basketball coach.
It's a good start. You're 0-19. You might want to have a conversation.
That meeting right now, okay, has been canceled.
Wow.
And I think when you look at Pitt right now, when you look at Pitt right now, one thing is clear. There was no backup to Dan Hurley, and that's something that I've confirmed through multiple outlets. And if you look the way other schools have handled coaching searches, Georgia wanted to hire Thad Matta from the gate. Right away, within 24 hours of parting ways with Mark Fox, Georgia wanted to hire Thad Matta. Within 48 hours of parting ways with Mark Fox, they were in a situation where they had Thad Matta in Athens, Georgia. Thad doesn't take the job. 24 hours, they made a deal with Tom Crean to be their next head coach. Right now, you're looking at Pitt, who parted ways with its coach weeks ago, and it's a coaching search that has no compass.
Wow.
Do you ever get tired listening to this guy? Like, I feel like I'm working out when I listen to him.
I get confused sometimes, especially with the Stallone and Creed 2.
I could go with the Creed 2 reference.
I followed you. That's why I challenged you on it, because I didn't think it made sense. You did not specify. You just kept it in the family of Stallone.
I figured it would be likely if Stallone and Drago were in this film that at some point they're going to come nose to nose.
Well, like for the quarters they emerge.
They're not. It's going to be the exact opposite.
All right.
Watch.
We disagree. I'll bet you a dinner at Campagnolo that they go face to face.
Look at them name dropping. Scott loves his food.
I bumped into Tiki there once with one of my bosses.
I haven't been there in like decades because I used to live on the Upper East Side. I used to go there all the time. The one time I go in there,
I was with one of my bosses, Steve Karasek.
He's there.
Was he all suited up?
No,
he was casual.
How many pair of jeans do you own? Honestly. How many pair, like I'm wearing
to work out, 4 or 5, just to work out.
I think this guy wakes up in a suit. I feel like you're like Adam Schefter. Like, I can't envision Schefter in like a pair of loose baggy pants sneakers.
You wouldn't recognize him.
Right?
Schefter, you wouldn't recognize him.
But I've known this guy forever, and I remember when he used to come to the studio dressed like this, and I still can't remember.
If he had your outfit on, your hoodie and your sweatband, would you recognize him?
I'm either like a button-down. I'm either like a button-down in jeans, or I'm like this. I can't do in between.
All right. Tonight here, John Rothstein is with us in studio. Tiki and Tierney. And John, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, writes for FanRag.com as well. Not a ton of time on this here, John. Who did you have of the Clemson, Kansas, West Virginia, Nova, Cuse, Duke, and Texas Tech, Purdue? Which is the game that you think will get most lopsided?
Duke, Syracuse.
Okay, what about number two? Because I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
You think Purdue pulls away from Tech? Or you think that's a
40-minute
street fight?
I would expect Texas Tech to advance and play well.
No,
Texas Tech, to me, is one of the more underrated teams that we have seen in college basketball. And I think, and again, you know, people don't watch college basketball, you know, all season long.
Yeah.
I think people that will watch Texas Tech play tonight will think that they can win a national championship.
Tell me the kid's name. What's the
Keenan
kid?
Evans.
Yeah. No. Well, there was another kid. There's another one.
Which
was the one you told us?
Zaire
that was a letdown.
No.
Here we go. About the kid from West Virginia.
Yeah. What's
his name? Sagava Kanate.
There it is.
Sagava Kanate. No, this is a guy on
West
Virginia.
How the hell do you know all these names?
Sagava Kanate, and again, I'm going to say it again. Bob Huggins told me, in February, is the second best shot blocker he's ever coached
behind Theo Ratliff.
Yeah. Kenyon Martin. He reminds me of Theo Ratliff.
Oh, okay. I got you.
That was his.
Theo Ratliff from? We know.
Wyoming.
Josh Allen, yep. Pro Day. Look at that. We link it all together.
Quickly, we only have about 30 seconds here. Back up to Purdue. Haas, update, injury.
Oh, he's playing. He's good.
How can he be effective if he can't shoot a layup?
Yeah, okay.
He's playing.
The brace was clear.
That's why I do the George Mikan drill, buddy, yeah. when you're in camp. Both hands, both layups.
I don't think he's going to be a factor.
Is he going to play?
Yeah, he's playing. Are you reporting that he's not?
I don't have confirmation from Matt Painter about that, but I'm
skeptical.
If you fracture your elbow and you are a post player who needs to catch the ball and be a factor, I don't see how he can be a factor. Until I see what
my... hurt? Are you injured, son?
Yeah.
I'm both, coach. He's both. But I want to go to the Final Four, so I'm playing.
I hear you.
So engineer students, construct something so yes. I can play. John, good seeing you, pal.
All right, see you guys Monday.
What time are you on TV tonight? Real fast, 10 seconds. What do you got?
I'm going to go on. We're going to be on from 5 to 8, and then our wrap-up show, as it always is, will be on from 1 to 2 on CBS Sports Network.
Boom! Right here on this network. John, good work, brother. Appreciate you. Follow him on Twitter, fanrag.com as well. Mixing up the old rule book of the NFL, Teak.
Trying to.
Little tweakage.
Not enough, though.
Ooh.
Maybe.
It's interesting. Wait, which one is it? Not enough or maybe?
It's a tease, man. You got to, like, guess
it. But you teased it, then you cut down your own tease.
I know.
you had me intrigued. We'll make some sense of it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.